I'm happy to have all of you on the call today and the chance to talk about the new program that we're offering coming up at the end of March. And like all, or at least like some New Ventures West classes, you can't quite tell from the title what it is. I'm looking for, like I said, I'm looking forward to the chance to talk about this and answer whatever questions that you have and interact with you about it. You might, some of you might know the big background for all of this, which is pretty much since the first one or two PCCs happened in the early 90s, people started asking us for a graduate program. And we've been offering classes, as you, some of you are aware, things like Sarcha's beautiful mastery classes that she's been doing every year, where she puts in so much of her intelligent design and wonderful leading ability, and Thwarting the Inner Critic, which has turned out to be a regular class, and the year launches that I've been doing for all this time, and Steve's Coach as Entrepreneur. But these are other programs that are meant to have the same sort of power of the PCC, in that they happen over a period of time, so people have, all the participants have a chance to learn and integrate what's happening in the class into their life and bring the issues that are happening in their unfoldment back to the group, and also a chance for people to move forward as a cohort, as a group, which I think is really, really powerful. What's also fantastic, I think, maybe, I don't know how you all will feel about this, I think it's fantastic to have a class without a test at the end. There's no, so far, there's no certification process with a committee and case studies that people have to write up. So there won't be that sort of intense work and intense emotional pressure at the end, where all of our historic anxiety around being assessed gets stirred up. So we don't have that. But we do have the power of our group. Steve March and I led a class last year for New Ventures West PCC graduates, and we came away at the first break astonished by how deeply and how quickly we could start the class, how ready people are to receive whatever it is that we bring, and their sensitive, intelligent response to everything that we brought. So it's a really an exciting prospect for me to work with a group of graduates of our classes. The program itself will have a similar format to the PCC in that we will meet in person on somewhat long days. I don't know if you think 9 to 7 are long days. Especially on day 3 or so, I tend to think that these are long classes. We will have some work between sessions, but not at all in the range of what happened in the PCC. With the PCC, our task was a pretty big one, is to take wherever people were on the spectrum of not being able to do coaching very well at all, to being pretty good at it, to being someone who took major steps during the year. So in this class, it'll be more, in a sense, directed by the students who are in it. But at the same time, there will be the structure. So there will be calls from faculty between sessions. Everyone will have their own development plan that will probably be much more creative and much more, how can I say this? Have a lot of different dimensions than what we did in the PCC, because in the PCC, we were always doing our best to model the flow of the first coaching conversation and have things fit into the structures of what we were teaching people in the class. But in the program that we'll be doing in March, this Artistry and Precision class, or Precision and Artistry, however it goes, however we say it, there'll be much more latitude So we will, among other things in the class, have many, many, many more ways of understanding people than we were able to present in the PCC, and a consequent more ways of responding to people than we were able to do in the PCC. And that will start at the first session when everybody will get their own developmental plan. There will be, I think, about 5 books to read over the course of the year that will have to do with both understanding folks, our clients, other people in new ways, but also we will be studying in some detail design. We keep noticing that in the PCC sessions itself, there's not enough time. We haven't been able to find enough time to talk much about design. What does one do with all the information, the impressions, the understanding we have of our clients? How do we respond in a way that's unique to that person, powerful, strong enough, but flexible enough to endure in a valuable way over a period of time for the client? So we'll be doing lots of work on design. And instead of there being a big block of work that will come with the class, what we'll do is we'll let people step forward and take on different projects. And some of the projects might be individual people that you want to do a project, or it might be teams of people, 2 or 3 or 4, however many. I think beyond 4 it starts to be. What I find happens when groups start to be 5 or 6 people, at least half of the people aren't doing any work and riding on the coattails and the work of other people. So some small group would also be a possible unit for doing the projects that come up in the class. So a project would be, we would be open to all kinds of things. I'd be open to all kinds of things. But some ideas could be things like, how does one use these models for assessing a whole group or a whole organization or a whole department within an organization? And how is it that one designs something differently for a group or a department or a team as distinct from an individual person? And the project would be doing research, doing experiments, and coming up with some fresh ways of expressing what's found. In other words, it's a chance for everybody in the class to have their own unique expression of things. The class is, I'm speaking as if I know a lot about the class. Yeah, I know a lot of things about the class, but a lot of it will unfold as we're in it together. So part of what will happen, I think, spontaneously in the class is that we will follow what unfolds in the class, the topics that get brought up in the class, what's more interesting to us than something else. Because what's different in this program than in the PCC is there isn't a standard something that everyone has to be able to do at the end, which is certification, the certification process. So however entertaining it might be for you to listen to me, I think a good way to proceed with our phone call is to invite your questions. And as you know, we're doing this Maestro method today, which means that if you have a question, you just have to press 1 on your phone, and Adam from our office, our graduate department person, what is his official title? Director of Graduate Programs, I think. So Adam's on the phone call because, among other things, besides all of his other talents, he's quite savvy technologically. He's helping me out with the call. Anyway, so if you want to ask a question or make a comment, press 1. And we'll see on the computer screen that we're looking at that you are raising your hand, this little icon for us, and we'll know that you have a question. And, there's a question. And if you don't have a question, we'll just randomly call on you and see what you want to say. So, Wynn, Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are things with you?
Very good, thank you.
Glad to hear it.
So, I'm in the PCCE, and I have a question for myself as well as for a couple of my classmates who I know are also interested in the program. We have not yet been certified. Our certification weekend is the first weekend of March.
And you're
And
wondering if
so I
I'll
was.
come there early and help you with certification and meet with you in the
Well,
hallway and help you design
we'll just
programs
skip
for your clients. Yes,
certification.
I will do that. Sorry,
So yeah,
Wendell.
just logistically, I wasn't sure if it was something I elected to do. You know, do I need to wait till after certification to apply or register, or you know, how to
No,
best
you
handle that?
don't, because the class will be open to people who are graduates of the class. Now, some people, I don't know in your particular class, Wynn, but sometimes people decide not to go for certification with their class, they go for it later, or certification is not that important for them, so they just got whatever they got. And there are from time to time, as you've heard in your class, people who get a not yet at certification. So all those people are welcome. So it's not a matter. This is not a contingent upon you being certified.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for asking a question and breaking the ice here. What else would be interesting for all of you to know about? What is it that you want to hear me talk about, or you want to interact around? Daryl. Hi, Daryl.
Yes. How
How are
are you
things?
today?
I'm
How
good
everything is?
today.
I'm
I'm good today.
fantastic.
I'm having a good day. Yes, thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear it and glad you're offering the class.
Thank you.
My first question, and pardon me if I'm naive about this, but has this class ever been offered before in some format? That's the first part of my question. Second part is, what's your sense of what people would come away with in terms of any overarching themes besides the sort of the project work that people could do to bring in sort of a bent or a slant that they might want to focus on? So I guess that's a three-part question. You know, what do people want to?
Yes.
So, has it been offered before? You know, what people
No,
might come away
this,
with,
right.
and what is your sense of maybe the project work, James?
Yeah. So,
It's a lot of layering there. Sorry about that.
no problem at all. So, it's never been offered before. This is the first time, but all of us PCC leaders have a whole bunch of stuff that we've been thinking about and working on, and oh, don't we wish that there were 5 more days in the PCC or 10 more days or something. So both are true. We haven't done it before, but there's a lot to be said. What I'm imagining people will come away with, and I've been using a very funny word to describe part of it, is of that. And here's my premise, that we are the instrument of coaching, just like a violin is the instrument of a great musician, or a saxophone, or a paintbrush is, or a chisel. So we are our own instrument, which means, and here's the old-fashioned word I'm using, Daryl, I think we have to be pretty pure. Not like morally pure, but that's really good. Morally pure, but self-consistent. Having done some more deeper levels of work with ourselves to settle ourselves so that when we are with someone, we're more fully, completely with them, unmediated by our own reactivity.
I like
So we
that.
do a lot of that in the PCC, but here, to me, this is one of the hallmarks of the class, is that. So that will mean each of us becoming much more aware and sensitive to our inner process. So see if you like this, Darrell. This is one of Steve March's models that we took on in our leadership class that I'm going to bring into our class. So Steve says, and after a while it will seem like I've been saying it, but Steve is a wide reader and a fabulous thinker. And he says that there are four layers to how people know themselves. And the first layer is we know ourselves as parts. So there's part of me that wants to do something, this part of me that doesn't want to do it. I have all these different ways of looking and feeling and thinking. But the idea of a part is very mechanical. Like a machine has parts. My car has parts. My computer has parts. And they are fixed in their capacities, and they're determined by their structure, parts. And pretty much everyone knows, us on this call probably, but in the world we pretty much know ourselves as parts. We know ourselves as a mechanism that responds and thinks and acts in a repetitious way. And I am this way and I'm not that way. But then if we watch ourselves, start to know ourselves more deeply, and feel into ourselves, are open to feedback from people that we trust, and we start to soften and be less defensive, then we notice that instead of being parts, we are a process, that we are, oh no, we're alive, which means we're flowing, we're responding, we're interacting with each situation in a different way. Is what keeps us alive. Clearly, we're not talking to everyone in our life the same way. It's a little bit different when we're talking to our beloved than when we're talking to a business prospect, than we're talking to someone that we're ordering our lunch from, and all of that. So we are a process. And then that has life be way more interesting, much more lively, much more mysterious. If you stay with process, what we discover is that besides all that is happening, there is a deeper identity that we have, which is of presence. So we're here. So we are the awareness of the process, where the place where the process is happening. And yes, the process is deep and rich and connected, but we're not just process. So as we cultivate ourselves as presence, this is where a whole way of knowing the world, a whole way of knowing other people gets revealed to us. And I think this, Daryl, is the world where we start to know things beyond what people tell us, because we are with them. And what starts to happen when we're in presence is the distance between me and the other person diminishes. And we all know this from being in love with someone, or being close to someone, or having a really good conversation with a person, and the barriers between us and the other fall, and we're simply present there with each other.
Right.
So the class will work to have us begin to do our coaching from there. And some of us might already be doing our coaching from there. That's nice. Some of us may have visited this place from time to time and thought, oh, my goodness, that was such a good session. What happened? What happened? All the effort was gone. My mind quieted. I wasn't figuring out what to say next. I wasn't worried about, oh, no, they just tossed something over the table to me and I don't know what the hell to do with it. You know, all that calms down. And then the fourth level is, and who knows if we'll get to that, is the non-dual, is the non-separateness. So what starts to open up in presence is the lack of distance between us. And what happens as we know ourselves as presence is that we know ourselves as non-separate from others, non-separate from events, not separate from the situation, all of that. anyway, the class will be along that path of opening up all those different dimensions so that we can, this is all for the sake of being of service to other people. These are fantastic experiences, and as we have them, we feel more spacious, more loving, more compassionate. There's a great release. There's a great serenity. How fabulous. And some people are, at least for a while, willing to hang out there. But in our work, that's always not the end. The end is so that we can respond to what life is calling us to do.
Oh.
So what happens along that way, too, is we get wider and more open and know ourselves in a more fundamental way. What life is calling us to do becomes more clear and more insistent. So
that was very lovely, James. Thank you.
Oh, good. So I think that's what we're after in this class is people making that journey. And the project, I don't know, Daryl. I think it's going to have a lot to do with what we cook up in the class.
So,
for example, you know, who knows who will end up in the class. But some people might think, oh, this is really fun. So I want to go try coaching. I want to go to a kindergarten class and see if this works with five-year-olds. And then we'll come up with some structure, some people to work on that. It's going to be really open to what people come up with for a project. It's like a, it's kind of like if you've been ever been in a fine arts program, and at the end of the class, you don't take a test, but you bring in, oh, this is what I painted. This is the photographs I took. This is the sculptures that I took, or here's the video that I made, or here's the play that I wrote, or et cetera. It's more like that. It's more showing us a portfolio of something you've made. It's more in that genre than a project like, I don't know what, you built a house or something, or you, or something. So
yeah, that's very helpful, James. I really appreciate you. You're taking the time to share that.
Welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for asking, Daryl.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that Sharon? Hi, Sharon. Sharon?
Maybe yes, it's Sharon.
Yourself. Yes, I did. Hi, Sharon. Isn't this Sharon Strauss? I think, at least on my screen, your hand's raised. Is that not right?
Oh.
Okay.
I'm so sorry for losing you. Press the wrong button. I think this program is amazing. I think that I actually would have loved this many years ago. And I wanted to ask you a question about, because this is an area that I'm not as good at, that I would like to get better at, which is your design area.
Yeah.
And I find that with clients, this work is really about artistry and precision, ultimately.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time working on that and trying to bring that piece into the work that we do. And I have found that when some of those layers you were talking about really get diminished, that's when the work really starts happening. And so I wanted to know a little bit more about, less about the project, even though that was a really great question that Daryl just asked. I loved how you responded to it. But a little bit more about that study of design and its connection between coach and person that we're coaching.
Yeah. Right. So that's part of what makes design different in coaching than, say, being an architect. Because with an architect goes out and looks at the place, the location where the building is going up, and talks to the people who are sponsoring the building, and then comes up with something, but doesn't talk to the ground. and say, well, what kind of building would you like here? Trees, nearby trees, what kind of shape of this building? So there's certainly an interactive process that happens with us and our client and the design. And in the PCC, Sharon was in my class, so Sharon and I know each other a bit. There's a strong emphasis on the design mostly coming from the coach. And there's all kinds of reasons why that is. And I think that's a really good, of course, I think it's a good idea for beginners to come at it that way. In this class, though, we're going to have one thing about the design, and I'll talk about design generically here in a second. So more, the design will be more interactive with the client, at least in this sense, that we will be open to understanding the client in a wider way. I think what happens when we start to do integral coaching, every now and then we get a glimpse of how big, deep, and complex the person is that we're coaching. And that could be scary. So oftentimes what we do is we collapse that down to something simple that we can deal with. So in this class, what we're working on is what I just said, going through those four levels of development, at least three of those levels of development, so that we are more able to deal with the full complexity of our client. So, okay, this is how I think of it, Sharon. It's like we have to fit the person. We have a picture frame, and if we have to crop the life of the person, that's okay. It has to fit into our frame because this is what I can do. And
you don't want to take off all their parts.
Yeah, we don't. Well, yeah, exactly. And we
want to be able to have the entire head there instead of
that would be nice.
Cropped down. In
this method, what we'll be up to in this class is having to crop maybe not at all, or certainly crop hardly at all, hardly any. If we can do none, that'd be fantastic, or way less, so that we have more wherewithal to respond to the complexity, the depth, and the largeness of our client.
That's beautiful.
So that's part of it. So design, so there's incredible things that we're going to, that are studyable about design that we will do. We'll get to the essence of design. So design has to do with, here's a way of talking about it. I'm going on about design, but it's fundamental to us as human beings that we are designers, which means that each of us is designing our life every day. So our life isn't a given. Our life isn't like we were a train on the same tracks every day. So every moment there's different situations given to us that we're thrown into, that we step into, that we have to respond to. So Sharon, as I recollect, has children. So the children are different every day. And,
every second of every day.
Yeah.
Truly.
And sometimes we wish, wait. Yesterday you said green was your favorite color. That's why I got you this sweater. You love macaroni and cheese last week. Yeah. So where we are responding freshly. So that's part of design is understanding the fluidity of life and being able to work with that. Design also has to do with bringing in a wide range of practices and activities that are from the fringe of how we live. So just to talk about art for a second. So art in the 20th century got to be radical because a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is people started having things that couldn't be considered art at all suddenly are art. They found a way of bringing something from the edge into the center.
Yeah, like a Jason Pollock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Pollock is a big one. People who would do found art, and we've probably all been to museums where someone brings in a, I don't know, a scooter, a kid's scooter, and suddenly when we look at it on the wall, it's different than when we see it on the street with a child playing with it. Anyway.
Right, it's being presented, right? Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. So things being, so that's part of design is what can we bring in?
And that's an area that I would really love some more work in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So expanding what we are drawing on for our design. And then our design has to fit. So there's always calibration between coaching client about the calibration of the program. So one of the things I'm expecting that we'll do in the class is we'll go and look at good pieces of design. So given that we're in San Francisco, we're probably, I'm predicting that we're going to have, you know, as you can tell, I don't have every moment of the class worked out yet. Don't tell anybody. But I'm predicting that we'll do field trips, like we'll go to a museum and look at design of objects, design of art. And we'll probably even, given that we're in the Bay Area, we may even go to some of the beautiful buildings that have been designed or the beautiful bridges that have been designed and look at what are the principles going on here that we can take into our own work as coaches. So we're going to be students of design, both in terms of reading some seminal texts about it that are about the human side of design, working and practicing designing within the class and getting feedback from people around it, and also doing these kind of field trips.
Beautiful.
So design,
thank you.
Yeah, design is key for this whole process.
Beautiful, thank you.
Welcome. Wynn, I still have your hand up. You just had that one thing you wanted to say, is that right?
I had another quick question.
Oh, you have another one. That's why your hand is
yeah.
up. Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Will we be doing any recordings that will be submitted, anything along those lines?
I wasn't thinking of that, no.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that as part of people's project, they'll have that. But, no, it's not going to be a requirement of the class.
Mm-hmm.
You think it should be? Should I rethink it?
I don't. Quite frankly, but it's one of the questions from one of my classmates that couldn't make the call, so I wanted to ask that on her behalf.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think the big overarching question was just how much coursework or homework outside of class would occur, and I get the impression from what you're sharing is there certainly is some, the project, et cetera.
Yeah, but it's a lot less.
The pace, compared to the PCC, the pace is much
yeah.
slower. And
that's right.
Yeah.
It is slower. And one of the things that we've discovered when in working with PCC grads is a little bit of practice has more of an effect than a little bit of practice has with someone just walking in off the street, like students who are in the PCC.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What comes to mind when you ask your question, I remember in what year was this? Goodness. I think in the 80s I ran a marathon. And after I ran a marathon, I didn't run for like 5 years after that.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes the PCC is like that. Okay, I wrote all those cases. I read all those books. I read all those reports. I did all those homeworks. I submitted all those recordings. Give me a break. Oh, God. So the class won't be like that. It won't be, thank you very much for running the marathon. Now we're going to do it uphill, and we're going to put a backpack on you.
Yeah, an ultra marathon. It's a perfect analogy.
Right.
I'm a former marathoner myself. It's like, yes, that perfectly captures how I'm feeling. So
yeah, it's going to be like that.
Good to know. Okay, thanks.
Welcome. What else can... you want to hear about? One of the cool things is that I have your name on my computer screen, so I can just call on you and see. So say something. So someone wants to say something before you get called on. Like Sydney, so I haven't talked to Sydney for years, so I'm just going to call on Sydney. What do you want to talk about, Sydney?
I'm just giggling. Actually, it's just so fun. You know, as soon as I saw this, I registered, as you probably know.
Oh,
And
good.
I'm so excited about
Yeah.
doing it. And I also am just about to finish. I leave tomorrow to do my last module with Wendy Palmer.
Oh my goodness. Good
In
for you.
and I it's I know, and actually Adam Klein helped me sort of work through this. It's like which of these programs, and we ended up doing both. It's like I'm so happy with myself for making the decision to do that because I know I'll get much more from this, you know,
Yeah.
from you and from this class, having, you know, she's already almost 6 months now of trying to be more, to develop a consistent sitting practice again, which I've sort of, you know, sometimes more successful than others, and the work with the body. And as you talk about this, I notice that for me, this is really a long journey of development. And yet I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to enter more ready to try to get from the
Right.
parts of me to at least the
Right.
process, you know, and maybe some
That's right.
inkling of. So that's what I'm thinking about as I'm listening and looking forward to what we all create together. You have any sense yet how large the class, or do you
I
have
think
a
we're going to
notion of?
our intention is having 20 people in it. So we'll see how it goes, but that's our plan at this point. I think it'll be a good number.
Well, I'll be looking for the possibility of rooming with someone
Okay. We can
if
work that
you
out.
know, if there's a way to share information. So
We will definitely do that. I know, because Sydney and other people are likely coming in from other places, and this will cut
yeah, I'll
down on the
be
expense.
coming in. Yeah, in March I'll be coming in from Minnesota. So right now I'm in Florida. So
Right, because you know Florida's the better place to be during the winter.
right now it certainly is. For me, it is for me. So great to hear your voice.
I'm happy to talk to you. So, David Crisis, what do you want to say?
I was really just interested to see who was on the call. I don't know if I intend to take the class, but you know, just graduated and looking to take a program
Yeah.
sometime this year. I'm just trying to learn about all of them.
Yeah. I got inspired by your name to start to come up with other names for myself.
Great.
So far, I have Jimmy Dynamite. And I don't
Okay.
quite know what venue. Some of you don't know David. So David, among other things, among the many things he's done in his life, has been a DJ and he invented this great name, David Crisis, for himself, which is quite a strong and memorable name for his professional work. So I thought I ought to have a couple of them that I could use so far. And Jimmy Dynamite is the best so far.
I like it.
Thank you. That's good. That's good. Positive feedback. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I might, if I can try to remember to refer to you that way, I think it'll maybe solidify it. But one thing you said that did intrigue me that I didn't know was in this program was the way you were describing the group design, because I've managed to create that scenario for myself. It's something I'm in the middle of doing already.
Yeah.
Hearing that there's a place where I can get more work with that and outside perspectives instead of just
Yeah.
figuring out, I'm grateful to get that information, to know that there's a place to do that now.
Yeah, we'll do that. And that's part of the power of the project. The projects could be something that the person, such as an example you just brought us, a project that they're working on in their life already. So it might be, I'm trying to work with this kind of group or that kind of group or this demographic or this economic group, or and how does this turn out there? For example, I'm starting to work with, and a number of us graduates are coaches from New Ventures West are starting to work with people involved with the Enneagram Prison Project. This is a group of people that are bringing the teaching of the Enneagram, the ability to self-observe and to know ourselves as distinct from our reactive patterns, into jails and prisons. And they're doing extraordinary work there and really cutting down on the recidivism. So we are starting to coach people who are newly out of jail, newly out of prison. So that's a project. Is coaching people who have that in their very recent background, is that different than coaching someone who doesn't have that in their background? How does that play out? So that could be a kind of project. And we could take advantage of, tap into the wisdom and experience and insights of everybody in the class. And we could bring that to bear on the projects that people will bring to us. And thanks for being a good support, David.
Thank you. Your suggestions and direction of that is both inspiring and, I don't know, brought this class to life for me. That was the way you kind of described just the page on the website that I didn't know enough about. So thank you. That was a great description.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, David. So I don't think we've heard from any Canadians yet, so which is why we have to call on Brian Sullivan. What's going on?
Hi, Jimmy. That's hard to say.
I might be willing to be Jimmy. I gave up. You probably, maybe nobody on the call knows, but I was Jim Flaherty until I went to my Rolfing training in 1977, and they asked me, what name do you want on your certificate when I got certified as a Rolfer? And I said, James. And then when I came back, I made everyone start to call me James.
How did that work for you?
It worked great. I really liked it.
Yeah. It has a gravitas and a grounding
sense to it. I know.
If ever I use Jimmy Dynamite, it'll have to be the Dynamite along with the Jimmy. There's no way to...
I know, Jimmy Dynamite.
You're not in my Jimmy rubric. You may or may not know, but I'll be joining you later this week in Washington, D.C.
Oh, great. I haven't looked at the class list yet, Brian. I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah.
So many people are coming from the University of British Columbia into our classes these days. I have a great woman in my class right now from there who you might know her. She's an expert in Freud and Virginia Woolf. English.
Is the woman named, is it Janice Stewart?
Yes.
It is.
It is, yes. Anyway.
Janice and I have been talking. I'm part of your secret recruitment strategy.
I know you are.
And she had a very exhausting last half year with all her academic responsibilities. There's also somebody from West Van, I think, in another cohort, but I won't take more time on the call about that stuff, but it's been great to have a cohort build here. It's been wonderful, wonderful. We've got some just terrific people. My response to reading the description here was, my first reaction was one of discouragement. It really named for me a thing that I had been fearful about, which is that my ability to receive a full impression from clients has been improving.
Yeah.
And my ability to actually respond to my clients has been decreasing.
Yes. Yes, I'm very aware in my own experience, my own life, how that goes. Yes.
The reason I picked up a note of discouragement at first is, oh, do I really want to have my nose in this again? Like, I'm going to be with these, you know, able people who are post-PCC, and I'm feeling like I'm barely started, and I already feel like I've retreated to be a consultant rather than a coach. And now the worst thing about it is I also have a sense of when I'm not attuned. If only I didn't have that sense, I'd feel better about myself. So,
yes.
So it was close to the design question that got asked earlier. I just simply wanted to say that if I take it up either this round or the next round, I think I may have my hands full already just doing the follow-up from what's about to happen later this week. But the notion of accurately responding to clients is a place where I'd really welcome some practice, and doing it in a group I think would be very, very good for me.
And what saves us, Brian, from this painful dilemma, and the dilemma, this might not be the way Brian would describe it, but this is the way I would describe it, is we start to get more sensitive and more open to others. So we have a feeling, a sense, an insight into what's going on with them. And then when we check ourselves out, we find out that our ability to be sensitive is not matched by our ability to respond. So there's always a gap between, I'll say it in a really shorthand way, between what we see can be done and what we are able to do. And that could be a really painful place to exist. So as a consequence, some people just take themselves out of the whole arena of working with people because they can't stand the pain and the tension of it and the self-criticism that goes with it. Or other people just try to ignore it, like, oh, I'll pretend I don't see that part. The third, this probably, of course, there's millions of alternatives, but another alternative is to know ourselves in a deeper way. So as we move down this spectrum that I was pointing to a little while ago, from knowing ourselves as part to process the presence to non-duality, then we have more room to be with the other with the other person. But also more self-generating. One of the promises, of course, of coaching, or the outcomes of coaching, is self-generation. So as we know ourselves in a wider frame or a deeper frame, a more full way, then the power of our inner critic is vastly diminished, but also we really do have a wider range of creative responses to people. And that's the kind of the edge of the class. The class will go from a lot of things will happen. So sometimes what will happen is there's something I'm not understanding in my client because I keep trying this or that and nothing's going on. It's not working. So what is it that I don't understand? So then opening up the understanding.
Yeah.
And then also opening up the range of and the variety and the repertory of what the response can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that dynamic back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Working with real people that will have the class be dynamic and also unpredictable and different for each person.
Well, that would absolutely be the pull for me, and I need to do it with others I'm discovering about myself in order to actually undertake that work. Otherwise, aside from writing, you know, 5 notes to myself after a session, I don't...
Not much happens. I know the feeling.
Yeah. I think the other thing that was attractive to me is the possibility that the coachee unit or the client unit might be a team or a department or even an organization. That is a lot of what has been a part of my work experience and what has interested me. And to come to that from a coaching frame rather than a consultant or even a management problem-solving frame would be good to me. I've had to do some of that in the last couple of years, so I would love for a project opportunity that involved a larger system.
To do that. Well, thank you, Brian. You're a good support letting me call on you like this.
No.
And I'll see you
in the yes, indeed. Yeah, you get to a point where you either push one early on, or if you wait till just about when you think you're going to get called on, it's just a guilt thing. So I just watched myself. had a moment of fresh learning. Thank you for calling on me.
You're welcome, Brian. My pleasure. See you in a few days. Anne.
Hello. Hello, James.
Hi.
I thought perhaps my name would show up as somebody else and you'd have no idea that I was on the call, so I thought I would,
that would be a,
say
see,
hi.
That's the key. Oh, now I know. You call up from someone else's phone or you put in someone else's PIN number. That's what it is. Anyway, go ahead.
I use the second line in our house, and so the account is somebody else's name. And sometimes people tell me that they don't know who that is when I call them. But anyway, it's great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
And I am also going to see you in Washington, D.C. in a couple of weeks.
Okay, good.
I am on this call because I wanted to hear more about the program and just what has always been my love connection with coaching is how creative it is. So the two words, artistry and precision, which is also a great love of mine, being precise and clear, really grabbed me. And maybe this is for me down the line, probably not in the near future, but I'm really glad to hear that you're doing this. I think it's really, it would be extremely helpful. And right now, I'm at a point where I'm just trying to get updated with, just really immerse myself in the coaching models, the integral coaching models as they've been updated, and in a way, starting up again after a long time of not doing coaching.
I see.
So this sounds wonderful.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad. And I'm happy to have you in it whenever you can. Wonderful to see you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in D.C. too.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We have to have non-snowy weather, of course.
Thank you
we
very
much. We don't
have
to, but...
snowing in D.C. is not the same as snowing in, say, Minnesota. In Minnesota, when it snows, no one cares. In D.C., when it snows, it's like a bomb got dropped. What are we going to do? Yeah, so let's not have any. I'm with you.
Okay.
All right. Good to talk to you. Mariana?
Hi. Hear me okay? I'm experimenting with technology. So I'm greeting everybody from London. Almost time to bed here. James, I got certified in Steve and Nina and Cynthia's class in June of this year. It was a wonderful and heartbreaking experience in a way that I think I'm still in a way in the yummy from how I felt afterwards. And I've kept my pretty big corporate job, and you know, I'm a manager and probably we're making a transition across the next 12 months. I'm really, I would love to do a follow-on course that both helps me develop as a coach, but even more importantly develops my coaching presence and also allows me personally to grow and to deepen. The course that I was really curious about was actually Conversations in Power, and I know that it's not yet offered. So I would love your advice about, as I think about the offering and artist and precision in particular, how should I think about a different flavor if I had objective that is not it is more about me becoming a really good leader than developing a big coaching practice.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool thing about it. They're not having a certification process at the end. That we don't. That each person, and I think this is how it's going to go, is that we're going to let, we're going to work out learning objectives and developmental objectives for everybody in the class. So in the PCC, yeah, people can have their own intentions and stuff, and people have their unique development plan. And at the same time, there's these criteria that if people are going through certification, they have to meet. So there won't be that in this class. So I think it's perfectly open-ended in the sense that if what's important for you to develop your artistry and precision around is being a leader, yeah, then we would do that. Then we would find out what that means in your particular context and also with your particular set of values and your set of skills and your current set of objectives, all of that. So the class is all around us developing ourselves in greater depth, and consequently, as I keep repeating myself and saying, having a deeper, fuller, more nuanced feeling, sense, understanding, seeing of what's happening, and then being able to design, consciously shape how we're going to respond, drawing on a whole lot of things. And that can be all in the realm of coaching. It could be in the realm of leadership. It could also be, so I'm open to people being in the class saying, oh, this is all really interesting, but what's front and center for me right now is I'm raising my children, or I am starting a medical practice, or there's a guy in our class in Singapore who's starting an organic farm in Malaysia, close by Singapore. And that's the focus of his life. Yeah, he's going to be doing some coaching, but it's in the context of how can he grow healthy food for a population that doesn't have healthy food right now. So I feel, and you might be able to detect that in how I'm feeling, is I'm feeling unbound in leading this class. And I'm hoping to share that sense, that experience, that degrees of freedom with everyone who ends up being in the class, that we don't have to have a narrow focus. In fact, the notion of the class is not to have a narrow focus. Yes, of course we have to be precise, but what we're up to and what we're after can be from a larger selection than what's possible in the PCC. Am I addressing what you're asking about?
Yeah, I think you are. I think it's more, if there's room to meander in between the posts, I think the process is just, you know, lends itself to it. And I love the intensity of PCC around your kind of my own development, but also it was probably the pace that I would have not chosen necessarily, if that makes sense,
because
there's so much to do outside of it, and you have responsibility towards clients. And stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it has answered my question. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking. Miss Sydney, I see your hand up. I have very good eyes. I can see way over into Florida. What is it that you'd like to ask? Are you there, Sydney? Maybe not. Are you muted, Sydney? Okay. Anyway, her hand's up on our computer.
Yes, I was muted. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
will there be a chance to learn the changes and updates that have been made to the models during the course of this? It's been a long time for me, and I know I'm
fair.
Behind. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's
right.
Fair. I think that's something that we'll do early on. No, we won't be able to, of course, do it the same way we do it in the whole class. So we'll do that, refresh everything. But then I'm
wonderful.
I want to bring in a whole bunch of other models. The one I've been wanting to bring in is Chinese medicine and the five elements model. Do you know about the five elements model? So in the Chinese cosmology, in the Chinese cosmology, first of all, their basic principle is the same one in early Greek, which is what's happening on the large scale is the same thing happening on the small scale. So what's happening in the creation of the physical universe is the same thing that's going on in our body, same thing going on in our mind and heart. So there's five elements. There's fire, earth, water, wood, and metal. And they all interact. They co-create each other. They co-limit each other. And they are, for example, somebody was in a class I led in Hong Kong this last year, in November, and he turns out to be a traditional Chinese doctor. And he contacted me afterwards and said, how about I do Chinese medicine with you and you coach me for a while? I said, okay. So I'm working with this man, and he tells me I'm a fire person, which means fire is fed by wood. Okay, so I have so much fire and I'm burning up all my wood, which means, as it turns out, to the body, because they map all those elements onto organ systems in the body, that I have to work with my liver, which is wood, and work on my lungs, which are metal, because metal cuts down wood. Anyway, it's a whole fantastic way of understanding what's going on and what's too strong, what's too weak, and if we want to make something stronger, how do we have to feed it? And if something is too strong, how do we constrain it? And anyway, that's the kind of something that I've wanted to talk about, but there's no room in our PCC to talk about it. There's probably, I don't know, however many other examples of things like that. Yeah, so we'll refresh what's happened up till now, and then we'll open up all kinds of new stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking.
Cool.
When?
Something you said about the Chinese medicine sparked another question. I think on the website there was a reference to body work, and I just wondered what you're thinking could be included related to body work in the program.
I don't know. What did I say?
I don't remember exactly.
We'll work with the body, of course, and part of the idea I have, Wynne, is, you know, it's what you're referencing or what I was thinking about at the moment, but when I wrote that, who knows what I was thinking, but what I'm imagining now about the class is that we will learn some way of working with our body that we share together. So as an example, in Tai Chi or Qigong, there are katas. There are a series of movements that go together that move the energy and balance the energy, cultivate the energy, all of that. So it's likely that we'll learn those things, especially given it works so well with Chinese method of understanding the body, understanding human life. So I think that may be one of the things I'm talking about. When I first started New Ventures West, I was just stepping out of my career of being a Rolfer. So one of the ideas I always had, and I never did it, was having part of a coaching session be on the Rolfing table, like, you know, listening of a person's feet or hips or shoulders or whatever, and then coaching them. And, or if the coaching wasn't working, saying, okay, the coaching isn't working, is there something that I could balance out in the body or release in the body that would have the coaching go better? So I never did that, but maybe what we could do in the class is, especially when we're working with people's development through these four stages, we can talk about what's going on in the body, both structurally and energetically, that could be impeding that.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that in the class, and maybe it's a realistic expectation, that in the class there will be more safety and more there'll be more openness to being able to talk about people's bodies. In the PCC, we hardly ever talk about people's bodies because it's pretty confronting. You know, people just walking off the street.
Yeah.
And let me, yeah. But we could talk about people's bodies. I used to do that in the early days of New Ventures West. I, in my naive way, I would talk about people's bodies, and I found out, no, don't do that. But still the capacity is there of looking at what the structure of the person's body is and the consequent way that that is shaping their view of life, their structure of interpretation, their mood, how much energy they have, their ability to stay focused, all that is in their body. So I would love to find a way, and I'll work in the class to find a way of being able to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really exciting way of being able to understand people. Is by the shape of their body, not are they in shape, out of shape, you know, their level of fitness. We don't mean that. But their shape of their body, as in, do their hips go one way and their shoulders go another way and their head goes a different direction? And then they say to us, I'm having a hard time making up my mind. Of course you are. Mm-hmm. You're being pulled in all these different directions.
I know you use the jazz analogy a lot. Is it safe to say that you have some specific ideas about what we could accomplish in class, what we might do to reach those outcomes, but that based upon who shows up in the class, what we're looking for as individuals, what we're looking for as a group, that it's going to be a little bit of an improvisation on exactly how the class unfolds?
Yeah, I'm going to have more, that's right. I'll have more structure than I have at the moment, but it will also be what you're saying. Because, and here's the cool thing, Wynn, that we're not able to do in the PCC that we're able to do in this class. So in the PCC, that's happening all the time. It may not look like it, but during the breaks and lunch and meetings before and after class, the course leaders are talking about how's it going, what ought we to bring in, let's shift the order in which we're doing things, let's do this part that we weren't going to do, let's drop out this part that we're going to do, and that's not talked about with the class. But now that people have gone through the PCC, and especially given the class's emphasis on learning how to design, I can take people into, this is what's going on for me, which is why I'm suggesting this.
Okay.
It'll be a chance to take people behind the stage, behind the curtain a bit more than we are able to do in the PCC, which I think will, I'm hoping it will be helpful. I hope it won't be confusing.
Well, it's sort of a chance to see how you're tweaking design.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
And especially if there's, and there probably will be moments of designing in the right then.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. See what goes into that. How about Karen? What you got, Karen? What's on your mind today?
Oh, as always, James, you inspire me in ways I never even think about because your brain is so different than mine or mine's so different than yours.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of this. So here's what I'm thinking about. The whole conversation has been interesting and intriguing, and what's caught my attention is the idea of improvisation. I'm intrigued by that. The idea of the five elements model and Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
Like got my attention. The structure of interpretation and how it's impacted by the body. Those are kind of areas I've been working on. And improvisation, there's a lot of body work with that. And I've been doing some work in improvisation with a group down here. So those are the things that have my attention about this class.
Okay.
And what intrigued me just to listen in on the call was actually a couple of things. One, I was trying to make myself up your way for the year launch this last weekend and couldn't get there.
Yeah.
And I realized that part of the attraction is the tribe that is created through New Ventures West's people and energy.
Sure.
And so I'm seeking another way to be in that that tribe and that energy and environment. Excuse me. So, and I'm sort of struggling with design because I've had so many different opportunities of late and projects in the last year, and I'm wondering if I'm getting complacent or lazy in my own design, or if maybe I'm just becoming more creative and
I know exactly. We don't know. If it's easy, does that mean I'm getting better, or does it mean I'm getting lazy? I know. That's a great question.
So it's all kind of whirling around in my head. That's what's up for me today, and as always,
perfect.
Nice to hear your voice, and I'm wondering what voice Jimmy Dynamite's going to take on.
Now I have to wonder if I'm, you know, regret this for the next 5 years that I mentioned Jimmy Dynamite to a public arena. Anyway, I have no idea what he says or what he looks like or how he dresses or what the subjects of conversation are. I don't know any of that.
It's an interesting choice, though, because the acronym is JD, which also represends Juris Doctor, and that five in you definitely can.
There you go. That's what I have in mind.
Anyway,
it's
nice to hear everybody else on the call. I got to just see if it can work for me. So thank you.
Great. How about Eve? Want to come in, say something?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess I just got on the call just to find out what this is all about and to renew what my sense of where to go is. I mean, I really am fascinated with co-creating the coaching design with our clients.
Yeah.
And for me, I would like to know more about how to bring the body into that process.
Yeah.
My own background is that I've done work in psychology, and I tend to, even during PCC, wanted to co-create everything instead of pre-design everything. So I'm really glad to hear that this is a possibility of learning more about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Eve. Karen, are you raising your hand now?
Oh, I was just going to add on. The answer is yes. And I was just going to add on that I really am intrigued by that five design model. I work closely with an acupuncturist down here.
Oh.
He's my primary care physician. And I actually am going to take this to him. I just want to open that possibility up and see what he might think, since he's very curious about coaching anyway. He's a third generation Chinese acupuncturist. So it was just more to offer that, wow, I'm going to actually go run with that idea.
Thank you, Karen. So we have a few more minutes. Does anybody want to come in and ask something? There's somebody. Yeah, Brian.
I just want to say I've already had an imagination about how you will be dressed as Jimmy Dynamite when you introduce a music interlude at PCC.
Okay. Well, when you see me on the weekend, tell me what I should look like. I'm open to suggestions.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Brian. Eve?
Yeah, I had a question about, I called Adam, and I've been taking some courses this past year on trauma.
Yeah.
It's in Chicago. They have a big mental health conference on trauma, and I've been really fascinated with some of Bessel van der Kolk's work. And when I called Adam, he said that that's one of the books you're considering doing. Are you going to be doing anything on that whole model? Because it's a whole body integration approach to dealing with trauma, which is at the base of so many of our lives.
I know it is. I know as you start, as anyone starts to study that, we start to see its prevalence much more than we know about. We think trauma is only if you are a war veteran or you were in a car crash or in a burning building or something. It's much wider than that.
Yeah, and they're tipping the models upside down of mental health too with this trauma edge on the edge work, because they're saying so much is diagnosed as mental health disorders that's really based on trauma, which is actually a natural part of our lives, and it affects our whole bodies, not just our brains.
Right. What's this man's book? I don't recognize the name, but I might recognize the book.
The Body Keeps the Score?
Yeah. We have that coming up in our study group starting in, probably March, the March to June. March. Yes, March to April, March, May. In that time frame, those 3 months. We will have his book. I haven't read his book yet, but I've heard fantastic things about it, and I've looked through it. So I'm sure that will show up in the class from reading his book, and he will also be on the call with us. So that's how it works in our study group, is we have the author on the call, so I'll get a chance to interact with him and see all the ramifications of his work. Yeah, so I bring up trauma, Eve, a lot. Pretty much any time I do something, I talk about it. I'm with people, and it sounds like you are too, who are saying it's...
Yeah, I just
really
think it would
important.
Be... Yeah, I would think it would bring so much richness into coaching to study that. And integrate it in some way. I haven't had a chance to integrate it into the coaching practice yet, but I really am fascinated by it. And he's an international expert on it.
Right, yeah. Yes, I know that. He's really highly regarded. So I'm looking forward to studying his work and seeing what we can, as you're proposing, integrating it in.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions and interaction. So I want to be sure that everyone had a chance to ask what they wanted to ask, but no one comes away from our phone call saying, oh, I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get what I needed. So is there anything that you want to bring up? There's someone. Yes, William.
Yeah, hi, James. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I'm already signed up for the class, and I'm excited about what you're doing. My inquiry really is, am I taking on too much? I just finished the PCC in June, and I'm currently doing Sartha's class. I agreed to be a pod guide for an upcoming PCC.
Okay.
I'm doing Patricia Albert's Evolutionary Collective that starts in February.
It's so funny. I just ran it. She came to our Patricia
Albert, yeah.
I knew from the 70s, and I haven't seen her since then, and she showed up at our party this year.
Yeah, I spoke to her there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really excited about her work, Mutual Awakening, because I think it deals a lot with felt sense awareness, which is part of what we use as coaches. So I'm just, and the other main thing is I'm a Diamond Approach student, and our summer retreat at Asilomar falls right during the second module of your class. So I'm just sort of trying to sift through all of this for myself and make sure I'm not spread too thin.
Yeah. You know, I don't, so when you say you're in Sartre's class, you're in Sartre's, her Towards Mastery class that she's leading? Or?
Yes, right, okay. Towards Mastery class, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what she's, I haven't seen how much she's asking people to do there, and I don't know, of course, what Patricia Albert is asking people to do. I don't know that, but I know that I am going to be asking people, you know, what is this going to take to do to be in this class? These projects are self-defined as I'm speaking about them. There will be some basic practices that will be probably once you, given everything else you're doing, you're probably already taking on. I'm sure we'll have some kind of meditation practice as the basis of what we're doing. There will
right.
be some reading, but I don't see that the work will be. Let me say it this way: a lot of the how much work the class is will be generated by how deeply each student wants to take on these topics. So it's not going to be imposed by the class so much as the class will respond to the ambitions and the initiatives of students in terms of how deep and how far they want to go with things.
Right. Yeah, that's helpful.
Okay.
Helpful. Yeah, I'm a 7 and the Enneagram type, and I wanted to taste it all.
I can appreciate that.
You know, this is a wonderful opportunity to, you know, study and work with you, and I'm grateful for it. So, yeah, I appreciate you extending yourself to do this call and let us feel a little bit more what you're up to with. Sounds rich, and I know I will be grateful that I did it if I do.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, William.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm happy to end the call here, unless there's someone else who has something. Okay. So thank you for being on the call, and your interest in this program, I invite you to do it if it feels right for you and feels like it can support you in your unfoldment and can be useful in what it is that you feel called to bring to the world. Adam is around who can answer lots of questions, and Adam and I are in close contact, so if there's something that you ask him that he doesn't know the answer to, he and I will speak pretty quickly and get back to you about it. So thanks, everybody, and I hope you have a wonderful beginning and a wonderful 2016, and I look forward to the chance to work with you and see you around. Hey, everyone. Thanks so much. See you next time.